You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Sometimes I wish that we actually just recorded some of our idle banter before the episode and just kind of slipped it in, like, at certain points.
Slipped it in just casually?
Just slipped it in.
Hubba hubba.
Because, like, that would have been an awesome clip for me to be talking about my hard nipples.
I mean, you're still talking about them.
Yeah, so, you know. And then it's, like, in the middle of the musical break, it's just like, yeah, my hard nipples, blah, 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 and then you just go into the next song.
No, it looks like the mic check is fine. We could just call that our cold open. Oh, yeah, here's episode 19.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 19 of the MemoCast.
This episode is titled Mike's Perky Nipples.
Yep, my perky nipples. I'm like that Batman suit from the 90s.
Speaking of which, Joel Schumacher officially apologized for that at... or was it George Clooney? George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney.
Who apologized at New York Comic Con for that this weekend.
Well, didn't they already apologize on the commentary?
Yeah, that's what I said, but I was like, you know what? I think it was like a formal apology. It was kind of like... Rather than being like, we didn't intend to do this. I think it was like a wishy-washy, like, half sorry, but not really admitting guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, no, we're sorry. My bad.
We're sorry, guys.
Sorry, Mr. West.
I'm sorry.
He's like, no, I'm sorry, Mr. West. I didn't mean to.
Sorry.
Yes, much like the board game. And speaking of which, yeah, NYCC this weekend, lots of crazy stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have gone. That's like, there's like cons across the continent. And it's like, I have to go to these, I have a list of, I have to go to at least each of these once.
I think we should make it to like once this, like if we ever, I'm not expecting this podcast or anything that we do for Racket or anything to ever get us any kind of acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
But if it ends up like at any point that we get big enough, so to speak, that we could actually get press at some of the bigger cons,
mm-hmm.
I say we do it. Like I said, we plan a trip and just like go to New York Comic Con.
We're going to New York. New York, New York. I almost want to be Springfield, Springfield.
Yep. New York's that way.
Thank you, sir. No, and so there was a lot of announcements, some cool exclusives, mm-hmm. lots of cosplayers. It was a party. And there was even some hubbub that not related to the con. Did you see what happened with the whole Nickelodeon event that was supposed to happen Thursday night?
No, I didn't. I actually did not have any news of what was going on for New York Comic Con. So other than watching April O'Neil's Tumblr,
oh yeah,
that's always fun because it's just her like walking around taking pictures.
It's like, hey, come play arcade games with me.
Yeah,
yeah. No, there's this author, Nick.
Oh, wait, before you go any further, yes, I follow April O'Neil's Tumblr. No, I do not follow it for the naked pictures.
I follow it for the naked pictures, but also for all the other fun stuff.
Oh, I followed her for the nerd stuff, and then it wasn't until afterwards that I found out she was a porn star.
I found out both simultaneously, and that was okay with my decision.
I've made my choice.
I've met her several times before. She's always nice.
Yeah, I was actually really jealous. I was like, because she always seems really cool on Tumblr.
Dude, and she took that hard style picture with me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool nerd person that you met and I didn't get to.
Yeah, and no, because I was even, we were talking about comics. I was like, oh, you should totally check out... You know, like Max Bemis's comic or the new Turtles one. She said she wasn't reading it yet, and I said, "Oh, it's perfect. You would love it." And I was just giving her recommendations, and I was because we were right next to like the Image, we were like here's a, or and next to the Boom, like that's all these cool comics you can buy right here from Boom or Image. And she's like, "I think I'm gonna buy them." Like, but not like in that like, "Oh, I think I'm gonna buy them." And like, she was like the way I pitched it to her, she was like genuinely stoked.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I don't think that she's never for a moment has it ever struck me that she's fake.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, turning herself on.
Yeah.
And from all your interactions you've told me about with her, like, she seems a very, very genuine person.
Well, she's real. Game recognized game.
Anyways, announcements from New York Comic Con.
Well, before we get into that, I want to talk into the little hubbub that
oh, yeah, okay. Hubbub.
So, the author of the book Slimed recently did an interview for FlavorWire with my friend Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the interview... You know, my friend Pilot wanted to talk about a little bit about like Clarissa Explains It All and stuff like that, because the book is like on classic Nickelodeon, it's like an oral history, and so apparently like the guy was just like kind of an idiot, and he was just saying all the wrong things. Like he was saying like, oh, like Clarissa wasn't a breakout hit, and you know, and so it got down to where my friend Pilot, who is a woman of color, she's a black lady. Mm-hmm. She was like asking about like diversity and stuff, and he was like saying, oh, like diversity is like toxic to the creative process. Like, you know, the only reason there's like all this diversity now is because Nickelodeon wants to force it down people's throats, kind of thing. And was like saying, you know, like why, like he was even talking about Sanjay and Craig, and like why does there have to be an Indian character? What would be a big deal if he were white? And you know, he's Indian because the executives of Nickelodeon say he has to, or has to be Indian. And just all,
who is this guy?
His name is Nick Kreisberg.
What is he to classic Nickelodeon?
He's just a fan who just was able to write a book. That's literally all. He also has some really weird horror porn shit that he writes.
Then why are we spending any attention, like giving him any attention?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. The reason why she interviewed him was because up until now he had never really shown how much of a like a goofball, shitty guy he was.
Yeah,
you know. And this book is actually for the most part a really good book.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why they're interviewing him in the first place is because he had an event on Thursday, so they interviewed him on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Or they knew him beforehand. The interview went live Monday because they wanted to help hype the event, because he was going to have like a panel of Nickelodeon like 90s stars, like Donkey Lips, a bunch of people were going to show up.
Yeah.
The people behind the Beats were going to be there.
Oh, okay.
Polaris was going to perform. It was going to be a huge thing.
Yeah.
And then a day after the interview went live, the event got canceled.
I wonder why. Yeah.
And then they wouldn't. And it was funny because they wouldn't say anything for the longest time, and then until like somebody came out and said, "Hey, like New York Comic Con like canceled the event and all this stuff because they didn't want their like name being attached to like this guy." And the best part is like one of the persons saying this, like, "Oh, this is corporate censorship, blah 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 blah." And like, this is not censorship. This is using their freedom of speech to say, "Hey, we don't want to be associated with a fuckwit."
Yeah,
like yourself.
Exactly.
I thought it was really interesting. I'll show you the interview later, because as you read it, you can tell.
Oh, I read a little bit. I remember you posted it on Tumblr, so I read a little bit and some of the stuff that he said.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's fucking terrible.
But yeah, so it was just a weird situation to be in, where you're like interviewing this guy. I felt really bad for my friend Pilot.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, but you know what? She's a really good person. She does a lot of writing for the AV Club and Flavor Wire. She's out in the East Coast doing that thing. So I give her props for even, you know, being able to like endure that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the guy's name is Matthew Klickstein.
Okay.
You know, but yeah. So pretty much, he was dumb, and that event got canceled. And yeah, you know, fuck y'all.
Yeah. Speaking of, actually, books that are coming out soon. I just saw this on Facebook earlier today.
You saw a book on Facebook?
Yeah, right. I saw Carrie Yules wrote a book about the Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah, you posted about that, like, maybe 2-3 hours ago?
Yeah, and so it's basically, an oral history of the making of Princess Bride. It has a bunch of anecdotes from, like, Billy Crystal, Robin Wright, you know, all these different people that, you know, everyone that's still alive that made the movie has all these stories about the making of The Princess Bride. So that's, I forgot when that's coming out. I'm sorry. I just did something that jogged my memory. I was like, oh yeah, it's the thing that's coming out soon. So, NPR did an interview with him about it, so.
That's really rad. Do we know when the book comes out?
No, I'd have to look it up on my phone. Like, we're both on our phones right now, like, desperately trying to look.
You're trying to find info. No, well, you look up that, and I will go into the next thing. Let's actually talk about these announcements.
Yeah, make those announcements.
So, the big one was that Marvel said next year they're doing a Secret Wars follow-up, which, to me, when I just read that headline, I was like, is the House of Ideas finally empty? And, you know, because it was like, do we really need another Secret Wars? And then I saw that Jonathan Hickman was writing it. I was like, maybe we do.
Yeah.
Because I like what Hickman does. I feel like Hickman works best in these kinds of big events because he isn't all about, like, the big bang and, like, boom, like, all this crazy. He's a very, like, I want to say he's a slow build-up, but he does get a fair amount of exposition in there, and he... he makes it so that things make sense as to why they're happening. They don't just happen for the sheer, you know, like having like cool images to share on Tumblr of like all these badass scenes with no real coherent story.
Yeah.
You know? Like he wants there everything to make sense. And a lot of what he does is there's months of buildup. Like mm-hmm. He did the Infinity Gauntlet. It was called Infinity.
Yeah.
Where they brought Thanos back in, and the Avengers had to leave Earth, and because he's writing the two core Avengers books right now.
Okay.
So stuff from that first issue of his run, like tied into that mm-hmm. event, you know. So he's very calculated in his decisions.
Okay.
And so I feel like he'd be the perfect writer to do a Secret Wars, like, you know, follow up book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be interesting. So I have faith in the Hickman. He is not yet let me down. And I remember my favorite book is of his is Secret Warriors, which okay. is it was about Nick Fury's Caterpillar team of superheroes that were under the radar.
Okay.
And so he had a really cool mix of people. He had what was it, Yo-Yo. Who she's a speedster,
mm-hmm.
and the reason why they call her Yo is because she running incredible speeds, but when she stops running, she has the ability to bounce back to her original point.
Okay.
Instantly.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of Yo-Yo comes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's really interesting because it's like part teleportation in a sense. So mm-hmm. let's say she needed to get somewhere really quickly, but then, I get to point B, well, I want to get back to point A, boom, she's just back there.
Okay.
You know? Which can be convenient in certain cases.
Yeah.
You know. The way he does it, it works really well.
Okay.
Either way, she's a speedster, regardless of that second part of her power.
Yeah.
And then they had Phobos, son of Ares.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the god of fear.
Okay.
And so, essentially, for most people he would involve, he could help... He could cause them to, like, when they look into his eyes, experience their greatest fear. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually where they're on a mission, and Norman Osborn, like, catches them, and, like, Norman's like, I'm gonna kill y'all, and then he's like, no, you're not. And he looks into Phobos' eyes, and he has, like, this breakdown where he feels the Green Goblin taking over.
Oh, dang.
And, like, he, like, has a serious mental breakdown that gives them the time to get away.
Hmm.
You know? And then there was JT, who is, I forget who is, he's the son of a demon, and then mm-hmm. there was, this guy named Druid, who was a master, or he wasn't a master, but he was descended from a race of, like, spellcasters.
Okay.
Who he had to be trained. And then, I believe Maria Hill helped him lead the team, mm-hmm. and there was two or three other people on there. I forget his name, but Crusher Creel, the Absorbing Man's son, was one of the members.
Okay.
And so, up until that time, no one had known that
yeah.
Crusher Creel had, like, a son of powers.
Okay.
So, you know, and then Layla Miller from the X-Factor and the X-Men. Was technically part of it, but not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially what had happened is when they came to recruit her, she's like, Layla Miller's mutant ability is that she just knows things. Okay. It's really weird. But
she's like the girl from Heroes that, like, just yeah. knows where you are.
No, she just knows things.
Okay.
So when they came to recruit her, she says, it's not time for me yet.
All right.
And then the person just takes their word for it, having read her file.
Yeah.
You know? And so when she does know stuff, it's interesting because she's the catalyst for House of M.
Oh, right.
Like, she remembers everything prior to, and she doesn't know why. Mm. She just knows things.
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm. Interesting.
And so when written, because usually Peter David has written her, and so he does a really great job of utilizing her in his books.
Okay.
So yeah, that was kind of like the team, or at least characters involved in the book. And, you know, it was great. It was only, like, 26 issues, because from the beginning, Hickman was like, it doesn't need to be this, like, forever ongoing thing. I have this specific story and idea in mind. And you actually got to see a lot. You got to be introduced to Nick Fury's son,
mm-hmm.
and then eventually see his own death.
Okay.
You know, which actually takes a toll on Nick. Most things don't bother that man, but that was one of the few things that did.
All
right. And so you really got to see that side of Nick Fury you don't normally see. So Hickman, A+ in my book. That was my first introduction to him, and I'm glad to see him on Secret Wars. Speaking of just all of war next year, 2015, the year of the war.
Because
this one, there's no information other than a teaser picture mm-hmm. of the new Civil War book. Now, did you see that?
No.
Well, pretty much all it is, and I can pull it up for you right now, but it is, you've seen the original Civil War comics, how they're set up with, like, the big white bar on the bottom, though, right?
Yeah.
So pretty much it's set up exact same image style as that, and then the on the top half of the image, it's Iron Man and Captain America playing a game of tug of war, essentially, with Spider-Man.
Huh.
Yeah, and so you're not really sure why, you know. And then it says summer 2015, and then that's it. So that there's no details other than that cover.
That's weird, because wasn't the Civil War storyline closed out? Like,
yeah, it was resolved. Yeah, so I'm like, what could they be arguing about?
Yeah, that's really weird. That's,
so I'm less confident in this than I am in Secret War.
Yeah.
Like, they'd really have to tell me, like, more of what's going on. Because, like, what would they be fighting about this time? Obviously, it had to be something new, but what could it be?
Didn't Cap die?
Cap died at the end after it was all resolved, and then he came back. So, like, it was like, I didn't give you permission to die, Cap. I don't even know what they'd argue about. I feel that was just a teaser to rile everybody up and kind of be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then they'll give us the real meat and potatoes sometime before the month is through, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
You know, at the very least, like, sometime in November. Because that's how they do it sometimes. They just give you that, like, that nice teaser image that just gets you angry. Like, they know it's going to get everybody angry.
Yeah.
Because they'd rather have...
They know their fan base.
They want the buzz, good or bad. They want it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. And then the last one that I want to talk about is the Daredevil shots. They released two images from the Daredevil show.
Yeah, it was a picture of him with the dressed in like the precursor Daredevil outfit.
Yeah,
that's all black.
Yeah,
and then what was the other one?
I think it was just him as Matt Murdock with the glasses.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. Okay, because I'm sorry. The one I saw was like the I just saw like the teaser image like of an article, and then when I actually clicked on the article, it was like, hey, sign up for our site if you want to read this. And I was like, fuck you.
I hate when they do that.
Yeah.
So that was what we saw, and I'm excited.
Yeah,
because this is the first of many Marvel Netflix TV shows debuting sometime early next year.
I heard there was something people actually got to see
for the shows.
Yeah, people either got to see it or read something about it.
Yeah,
and that it is way like darker and grittier and like than anybody imagined.
Yeah,
and then not only that. That Vincent D'Onofrio is actually really freaking scary as Kingpin.
I would not be surprised about that.
Yeah.
In fact, that's probably the best casting I've seen in anything Marvel-related in the current like stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, but I was a fan of Michael Clarke Duncan. I thought he was great, too.
He was. He actually really was good. Yeah. I liked his portrayal.
No, he helped. You know what? Like, and people badmouth that movie a lot. And myself included at times. But if you watch the director's cut, it's actually a fairly enjoyable movie. It has its faults, director's cut or standard cut.
Yeah.
But I feel part of that has to do with the script they were given and less with the directing style or with the actors themselves. And I feel like Ben Affleck gets like this unfair, like, oh, he was a horrible Daredevil. And you know, he did well for what was given to him on paper. But he can't change some of the dumb stuff that's written in there. Like, like Elektra's, like, transformation montage scene to that shitty Evanescence song.
Yeah, no, that was just...
Nobody could save that. You know, like I said, that's more so writing than it is the actors. They just did what was... I mean, what was Jennifer Garner going to do? Like, this scene is dumb. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think there's certain points we just have to kind of, like, let go of some of those old, like, early 2000s... late 90s movies and hero stuff and just be like, okay, that was a thing. It happened. We're not really proud of it.
They were still figuring out, like, how to really present themselves.
Yeah, we were still figuring out the superhero movie.
Yeah, because if you look at it, other than, say, like, Blade and, like, X-Men, I feel like a lot of those are just, like, you just look back and go, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, just,
Yeah, that first Hulk. That second one, though. The second one was good.
Never saw it.
The one with Edward Norton?
Never saw it.
You are doing yourself a disservice, man.
Sorry. I don't have any interest, actually. Like I don't have any interest in going back and see it. Maybe it's just like here's the thing. Is my first introduction to Edward Norton was in Fight Club.
Yeah.
And when I first read Fight Club, I was like, yeah! I was in like the early stage of like my 20s where I was just like angry about everything.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm a white male, and I was promised a lot of power and influence in this world, and now I'm in my 20s, and everyone shits on me. I'm angry about it.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that's why a lot of young guys in their 20s love Fight Club.
Yeah.
And then it was until after I read the book that I watched the movie.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, I really just hate this.
Yeah.
And I actually do not care for Chuck Palahniuk's writing in general now.
Yeah.
Because I read Snuff in another book. I read another book. My ex-girlfriend has my copy of Snuff now, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and it was just basically like, hi, I'm Chuck Palahniuk. I can spout a bunch of facts about things at you.
Yeah.
Take all these facts. I know how to do research. Ha 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 ha. Plot and character? What are those? Here, did you know Marilyn Monroe liked to be called Zelda Zonk? Now you do. Like,
well, not only that, but if you've been reading some of his output on the internet lately, like just him interacting with fans and questions,
mm-hmm.
he was very much like, oh, men are like losing their like foothold in the writing industry. It's all young adult books geared at like women, and so men are reading less dumb shit.
Okay, I want to have a serious conversation with you guys right now. This is Mike. This is Chiboya coming at you. Gender equality does not equal men losing anything. I want you to know that. It doesn't. Gender equality does not mean, oh, men are now going to be treated like second-class citizens. It's not what it means. Okay? It just means taking responsibility for ourselves and our actions towards everyone else that we have to live with. That's what it is. Okay? All right, good talk.
Hit the showers, boys.
Hit the showers.
But yeah, so I'll even show you during the break
mm-hmm.
that we put in there. some of the stuff you said on Tumblr, because I'm surprised you missed it, because it got a lot of traction on a lot of websites.
Oh, you know, I haven't been on Tumblr recently.
This was a while ago though, but you might have missed it because you have your phases where you're like, I'm not on Tumblr because Tumblr's dumb.
Yeah, I get mad at SJWs for a while, and I'm like, I gotta get off Tumblr for a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, don't get me started. And but yeah, Daredevil is gonna be rad.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I feel like the cast, just everyone. Boom.
I hope for their sake that the writing's good.
I think it will be.
Because okay, you know, we're going to talk about this later, though. Is it in this half, or is it in the next half?
It's in this half. We're actually about to jump into that after we talk about the casting.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Go, just lead us into that.
Okay, so, yeah, Daredevil good. Casting news. They just casted the Pied Piper for the Flash show just the other day. And they casted... What's his face?
What's his face?
Yeah, here we go. Dang it. Andy... how do you pronounce his name? Mientis. And so... Pied Piper is a hearing-impaired villain.
He was deaf.
Yeah, he's openly gay.
He's like one of the first openly gays. And then he, plays sound waves that hypnotize people.
Yeah.
Aha. I did research.
Yeah, you did.
I did research. Ha ha ha.
Cool. There you go. And so it's gonna be really cool, especially because the actor playing him is bi. So it's kind of cool to see someone in the LGBT community representing like an LGBT character.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that we couldn't see like a straight person playing him, or like, you know, like a gay character playing a straight person or whatever. But it's nice to see a minority being represented properly.
Yeah.
You know. And so I'm not really sure when that debut of that character in the Flash show is going to happen, essentially because the Flash show's second episode is barely going to be airing tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we have seen the first episode, and we have different opinions about how it is.
Yeah.
So, Mike, why don't you go first?
No, I think you should go first.
Okay, you know what? I enjoyed it. There are times where I'm kind of like, come on, guys. You don't need to hit me over the head with something. But there are times where I feel like the cheese level works with the that kind of hero. Like, you know, when Wally has to go... Not Wally. Barry.
Yeah, it's Barry, not Wally.
I wish it was Wally.
Yeah.
Where Barry has to go out there and he's like, how do I stop him? Just run fast! And I'm like, that's dumb, but my kind of dumb. And, but there are nice little nods, little Easter eggs that I really love.
There were.
You know, I love that you have Cisco in there, mm-hmm. who would I potentially go on to play Vibe later on.
Yeah.
You know, they have like the characters like Killer Frost and Firestorm also in there.
They put a nod to the gorilla.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Grodd escaped out of his cage.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really cool things like that.
Reverse Flash is already in there.
Yeah. Well, they actually just released shots of Reverse Flash filming some of his stuff in his costume.
Mm.
And I like how they did his costume because it is slightly changed up from the original, like the comic book look. But it still worked for the character. Okay. I enjoyed it. The only thing I would say some of the dumb stuff that was going on was mostly with like Barry's like mom and how she died and then how his dad got arrested. Like I feel like that could have been written way better.
Okay. I'm not. You know, just finish what you have to say.
I did because I was just like Zachary. You know what? I know you didn't kill Mama Pa. He's like,
oh my god. I can't do it. I can't.
Then tell people why you can't even.
Oh my god, it was the most poorly written piece of shit ever. Ever. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm a writer, okay? And when I watch something, I pay attention to things like character development, plot advancement.
Okay, Mr. Writer, you write yourself a superhero pilot and then come back.
Maybe I have.
Have you? No.
Part of it.
I said write one, not okay. Start one.
Okay.
Finish it.
I will finish it. But anyways...
You can still rant, but finish it.
So, one, a lot of the elements of the character development are so freaking contrived, and like you said, they just kind of hit you over the head with it, and it's so freaking cliche. It's like... Oh, here's the obvious love interest that I have no chemistry with soever, but hey, it's so obvious that she's the love interest of the girl that I have the crush on. Yeah. And it's so obvious that I'm the down on his luck, you know, lovable loser because I'm late to work, but we never explain why, and it's never brought up ever again in the entire show. And it's so obvious that this, you know, old school detective cares about me and I know him in some way and he's covering for me because he's like my father figure somehow. And
wasn't the detective kind of his father figure because his real father was in jail?
Yes. But like that opening scene where it establishes how they all know each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of like we learned about like okay, seriously, we learned about this in improv. When you open a scene, you have to establish who you are, where you are, how you all know each other and what you're doing there.
Yeah.
And they did that in the most stupidest way. It was like, oh no, and my boss hates me because I'm just this down-on-his-luck loser. Don't you all love me because I'm the underdog, even though I have no fucking personality whatsoever, other than my mom said I have a big heart.
He has a big heart, though.
Oh my fucking god. Writing number one. Do not tell show. Oh, God, I got beat up in the first, like, 2 minutes of this show. Yep, I have a big heart. Because my mama told me.
She did.
I have a great relationship with my dad because it's so fucking forced.
It is.
And then the episode progresses. And get this, guys. I had to get up and walk away from my computer because I wanted to punch it in the face.
Your computer didn't do anything. It's the CW's fault.
I know. I wanted to go back in time to the 90s and get, like, the frog when they used to be the WB
yeah.
and slap him around.
Slapping the frog, eh?
I wanted to slap the poor racist frog around. And then this the development of, like, when he's doing, like, the CSI work.
Yeah.
Obviously, why is he late to a CSI scene? When he's CSI, he would be writing with a detective or other CSI people because they work in fucking teams.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be running to the scene. He would be driving there in a police vehicle. Why is he even late?
Mark, we don't follow protocol in these shows.
We went over this with Godzilla. Protocol is important to me.
It's and no one else.
Exactly. It is hard for me to suspend my disbelief when you're going to do things like this.
You're just watching Gotham. There's no protocol there. They beat the shit out of each other.
Don't even fucking get me started on the 15 minutes of Gotham you made me watch, okay? Just don't. We're not going to go there.
Next week. Once you've caught up to all four episodes.
No, I'm not doing it.
Yes, you are.
Anyways.
You'll do it for the benefit of the audience in this show.
Back to The Flash and why I fucking hate it. So then, we get to this point where it's like, I'm the lovable loser, down on my luck, underdog. You guys have to love me. I have no personality traits other than that. Other than I'm the star, you got, I'm the baby, gotta love me. That's basically what his character boils down to.
He's cute and has nice hair.
So then, it's the so painfully obvious I have feelings for this female character because she's the only female character that's been introduced up until this point. And she's roughly my age. We have no chemistry, but hey, I have feelings for her. And I'm going to try and tell her in the most awkward way possible. And she's going to misinterpret me telling her that I have feelings for her in the most terrible way possible. Because I have no personality traits other than I've got a big heart. That
you
I'm
said that already.
Going Three to falter. Times. I'm going to falter in telling her and just be like, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I was like, your boy, you've told me the big heart. You're beating me over the head with the big heart.
I'm beating this dead horse with a dead horse.
Yeah, I was like, you're beating it more into my head than the show did.
So then we have this like, oh, something happened. You have to go away. Or, oh, this kid stole the bag. You gotta chase him away, and even though we've just watched like 10 minutes of you chasing this kid who stole her bag, she's apparently the Flash too because she catches up to you in half of that time. Even though we had like several long shots of you chasing this guy with her nowhere near you, but the second that you stop for like 2 seconds, she's right behind you. Okay, so anyways,
magic, the Jedi did it,
and then Green we get the help. Scene where. These two detectives show up and they find the thing. And did they even call for backup?
I don't remember.
They find the car of the guy. You wouldn't immediately be like, hey, this is Detective so-and-so. I'm at this place. We found our vehicle where, you know, the suspects are supposedly somewhere nearby. No, they sit there and fucking...
No, man, that's for babies. Real cops handle this shit on their own.
You shut the fuck... You're like the biggest fucking troll, huh? I think you enjoy making me angry.
No, I enjoy seeing you get angry with your opinions and me just being a dick to further that anger.
So then we get that. And then we get him getting his powers. And that's the thing, is it's that establishing shot of just like a building.
Yeah.
Is that his apartment building? Is that the police station? I don't know. But if it's his apartment, why the fuck is he doing lab work in his apartment?
Why not?
With skylights?
Because...
No, they don't do that.
Maybe.
And
not
why are
here.
Non-essential personnel allowed inside of a forensics lab?
Pizza.
Why is he not doing these experiments in forensics in a controlled environment? People are just allowed to walk. Yeah, I'm the detective's daughter. I'm just allowed to fucking walk in anytime I want, even though you're doing things that could be presented in court as evidence. And if it was known that I was here...
It's a drama on the CW. Don't expect it to be true to life. It's about a guy who runs really fucking fast.
Don't even... Okay. Okay, so then he gets his powers, right? He gets struck by this lightning bolt. And goes to the hospital. And wakes up from a coma 9 months later. In a building that has supposedly been condemned by FEMA. Yet the lights are still on. And people are still allowed to inhabit it. And the guy says, oh, I lost the company. Why do you have a fucking satellite in orbit still that you're allowed to just uplink to anyways? You lost your company. Don't things like this building and a satellite and computers seem like things that assets that would have been liquidated in order to cover your major losses with this company?
Magic. Weathered Wizard did it.
I don't.
You know what? It might have been Reverse Flash.
And then... And then that scene at the end with his dad.
I know, it's just Captain Cold. He's behind it all.
Guys, it's another serious talk I'm going to have with you right now. This is Mike coming straight at you. The Flash on CW sucks. It's poorly written. There's little to no character development or character depth for that matter. Everyone is a walking caricature. And, okay, yeah, and the female scientist I'm only the second female character to be introduced on this show so far. And I have a tragic backstory that I'm just going to hit you with at the most opportune time. And this look that we share, obviously there's going to be some kind of romantic tension between us in the future.
That was too dumb. I was like, yes, my husband died in the same accident that gave you your powers. Let me lust after you. That's pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Even me enjoying it and me being a dick and egging you on, that was pretty fucking dumb.
And that scene at the end, I know you didn't kill Bob. I'm gonna put my hand up on the glass as I'm talking to you on the phone in jail.
Come on, Pa.
Look at me. I don't know how to act or cry on command. And just... And then the scene where... I don't even remember the guy's name. The guy in the wheelchair. Fucking...
Call him Baron Mordo. That's not even the right universe.
Yeah. Just gets up and is just like, hey, I can walk and I have... I have a holographic newspaper article, because we need those in the future, saying the Flash disappeared in 10 years.
Yeah. How do you know he's not Booster Gold?
Okay, seriously, real talk. The show sucks. Don't watch it. Alright? Don't even watch Arrow, because apparently from that stupid force crossover thing, the guy from Arrow cannot act worth a damn, and those stupid lines that he gave, and that whole like cool, just God, I want to punch someone.
Punch me and watch what happens.
Oh God, I just slammed my messed up foot down on the chair. Ow.
Mike just had a hernia. We'll be back after the musical break.
Bye guys.
You get the sunshine.
that was a musical break. At the time of this recording, I have no idea what the musical break is going to be. It'll be decided after this episode, after Mike leaves. And
after I go home and go to bed.
Yeah, and while I'm editing, which shouldn't be too bad of an edit job because I'm already putting certain pieces in place. And but enough about that mumbo jumbo. I had to catch Michael up with some big wrestling moments.
Some wrestling.
Some wrestling. That's what it says on the thing. Wrestling with an apostrophe. And yeah, so two big things happened last Monday Night Raw. The big one is The Rock, the People's Champ, the Great One, the Brahma Bull, came back for a quick little segment with Rusev.
Yeah.
And he came and he electrified.
He did. Okay, well, one of the things I don't like about wrestling is just the promos.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh my god, I cut this promo, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there watching, like, these two grown men with microphones basically just, like, insult each other like they're in a playground. And I'm like, they're not fucking paying you to sit there and, like, talk shit to each other. Start hitting each other. Come on. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But I can understand why, like, you enjoy it so much. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But when I say he electrify, though, it's more so not so much in the promo, although I love the promo, is when he comes out and the huge pop he gets from the crowd.
Yeah.
Because everybody collectively flipped their shit. Especially that one guy.
That one guy was like, oh my god!
It was like, it was like when the Undertaker lost and they did that crowd shot of that one guy.
It's just like, it became an instant meme.
Yeah. Or did you see the picture I posted on Instagram from SmackDown last week? Wow, I just typed, all I did was just say wrestling, and I have it right here. With that guy behind the
Miz. Oh, yeah, he's so,
I hate the Miz. Why can't the good wrestlers come in front of me?
Yeah.
And so it was nuts. And it's nice that whole thing wasn't announced, because normally WWE, they announce who's going to be at what event.
Yeah.
And, you know. And so that was just something they just kept super secret with the whole 15th anniversary of SmackDown taking place last week, to just have him come in, do that quick scene, do the promo, slap Rusev a couple times, and then
and then collect his check as he walked out.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
Yep. See you later.
I can buy another $300 t-shirt.
Yep. That's pretty much what it came down to.
Yeah.
They just had a guy with, like, a little ticker tape machine, like, as the Rock was leaving, like, the arena, like, he walked backstage, there's just this guy with this little, like, machine taped to his chest, he's like...
He has, like, a green visor.
Yeah. And he just, like, handed the Rock. The Rock doesn't even say hi to him, just, like, takes the check and just walks out.
Like, because the Rock has, like, a per second, like, raise, so the guy has to, like, count the little dots of sand in his hourglass.
Yeah. And then like, his car is parked right outside, like, the back door of the arena. He just gets it and drives away.
It's like, how'd you get that car in here, JBL? I don't know, but I knew this. It was brilliant.
That's pretty much what happened. Yeah, it's canon.
And then, so that was really cool. The bigger thing, the funnier thing, was the hot dog cart.
Okay, my cheeks hurt from laughing so fucking hard. Okay, so I was pretty pissed off after the last segment. Like, I was, like, really legit, like, angry. Yeah. And then Mondo was like, let me show you some wrestling stuff.
Yeah, because I needed to cheer him up. And I knew the Ambrose thing would cheer him up.
Because I fucking love Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, he's so fucking off the wall. So what he does is, the whole storyline they had set up was that him and Cena were supposed to be in a handicap match, 3-on-2, but then Ambrose is like, well, I don't like you, Cena, so fuck you. I'm going to go to Coney Island and get a hot dog.
Okay.
And they even show him, like, getting on the subway to Coney Island at one point. Like, they just show him, he's all just by himself, like, whatever, I'm Dean Ambrose, I'm on the subway.
This is my new shtick is that I'm a fucking cartoon character.
Yeah. So he comes back mid-match as Cena, like, has just, like, been knocked the shit out of him because of a disqualification.
Uh-huh.
Like, always.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, Cena's by himself. And then Dean Ambrose's music comes on and has the cart. They're like, what's going on here?
He's a fucking hot dog street cart coming.
He opens
and then he stops and fucking opens it. He opens the fucking umbrella. He's just like stops and is just like, oh yeah, the umbrella's not open. Got to do this backstage.
The best part is they're like, what's in there? Falafel? Gyros? Pretzels? Because you clearly can't see the hot dogs on top of the car because it's not in your script to say what it is.
Exactly. Oh my god. And then don't they come down? Like, they come down to him.
Yeah.
And then
they stop, and then you see Dean, he's touching these holsters that he's all of a sudden acquired, and he pulls out a bottle of ketchup and mustard, and then he squirts Kay Norton with the ketchup and mustard.
Like, it's a fucking cartoon character. Like, he's like the goddamn Roadrunner or something. Like,
meep meep.
Yeah, I have expected him to, like, look at the camera and go, meep meep. Or it freeze, and it go, like, Deanius Ambrosius. He's like, Lunaticus Fringes. Like, and then, like, speed back up to him running into the ring and beating the crap out of Rollins. And then,
with his little fake punches.
Yeah.
And then,
like, he hits Rollins like you do when you're fighting with your younger brother. Like, yeah. I've beat up my younger brother the same way that Dean Ambrose beats up Seth Rollins.
The best part is he throws the sauerkraut and the relish before getting the tongs.
Yeah, yeah. Tell him what happens next.
So after throwing the relish and the sauerkraut, Dean Ambrose pulls out the tongs, and you're like, what is he going to do with the tongs? It's a hot dog cart. They're hot dog tongs. Is he really going to do that? I don't think so. It's a family show. Oh, and then he grabs Ron's junk with the tongs. Just a... Like a good, firm one.
It's a fucking cartoon character. That's what they've reduced him to fucking Roger Rabbit.
And I don't think he minds. Because he's getting a good push. Like, he's been blowing up recently.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Okay, because I told you during the break that I had a dream. I had a WWE dream.
Yes, you did.
And I had this dream... And of course, mind you, this is a dream, so not everything's gonna fucking make sense.
Yeah.
But through an angry tweeting spree, and us talking shit on this show, somehow higher ups at WWE, like something we said on the show and something we said on Twitter, like, became a meme.
Yeah.
Then it ended up got like getting repeated or something, and higher ups at WWE got wind of it. And they did that thing of, like, we're rich and we own a corporation, so we take ourselves entirely too fucking seriously. Yeah. So we're going to reach out and fuck with these guys.
Yeah.
And so we ended up, quote-unquote, working for WWE. I shit you not.
Yeah.
As they wrote us into a storyline as two, like, schlubs.
Yeah.
Who, like, got to, like, go there and, you know, announce and critique and stuff.
Yeah.
And then... Part of the storyline that then got written, and it took off, and it was this amazing storyline where we were doing research or whatever into, like, the WWE bylaws.
Yeah.
And we ended up coming across a bunch of, like, bylaws that indicated that because they took the title away from someone or it couldn't change hands due to disqualification or whatever, that the title was then null and void.
Yeah.
And that... I'm serious, like, okay.
I like this, where it's going, because this is probably better than what's actually going on with the title.
Yeah, and so, like, the because of some shit that happened, the title was null and void. And then not only that, but because of some of the terrible decisions of that the authority had been making lately in regards to running WWE, that the legal department found another bylaw that said that they were allowed to interfere with the goings-on in the matches because it is hurting... WWE as a company financially.
Yeah.
And that the McMahons and Triple H and the authority were then gonna have to somehow prove that they could run the company as a financial... I'm serious. So then, basically what it came down to is the... We ended up as, like, this weird, like, oh, we found the bylaws. It started this the name of the arc, as it became known later, was the Civil War arc.
Okay.
And it basically was... A bunch of the titles became relevant because whichever side the authority or the anti-authority, as they were called, whoever had the most titles on by WrestleMania ended up getting control of the institution legally.
Okay.
Because the wrestlers, they ended up having some kind of union in their bylaws or whatever, saying that they could end up changing the way the company was being run.
Yeah.
Because it was what was best for the company financially.
Best for business.
Exactly. So the agreement that was agreed upon by legal and both sides was that whichever side holds the most titles by WrestleMania, and whoever and will inevitably end up getting the control of the company.
Yeah.
And that the other side will have to become the underdog later.
Yeah.
And so it led to these really weird things where, like, certain people that are for the authority ended up switching sides and going to the anti-authority.
Yeah.
And, like, people like a bunch of heels like the Wyatts and stuff like ended up being like, well, where are they gonna land? And then, you know, there ended up being like this third offshoot that was like, we're just for fucking chaos, we don't care. And it ended up like the flagship of the anti-authority, surprisingly enough, after like I watching this match, was John Cena, Dean Ambrose, and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
They were like the flagship for the anti-authority.
Yeah.
And then obviously the authority had who they have now. They had
Orton, Kane, Rollins.
Rollins.
They had a Bella sister, who technically kind of.
Yeah, they had Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And so, and then they, he ended up getting a title, a subtitle called Brock Lesnar, the Beast from the East.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know. I've been playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then like it came down to like the last match before WrestleMania,
yeah,
where the Authority had the most titles,
yeah,
and it was what's her name, the one that you like, Paige, right? Yeah. She had the women's title,
yeah.
She had the Divas title, and this is a dream,
yeah.
Mind you, this is a dream. That because we were the ones, like, for some reason, they just kind of, like, ham-fisted you and me,
yeah,
into, like, being the spokespeople. Like, we were, like, the Paul Heymans of, like, yeah, the anti-authority. And so, occasionally, like, we would come out and mouth off and, like, and then end up getting slapped around a little bit or, yeah. And then, so, we were out there and it was a big confrontation where the authority was flouting the fact that they had more titles than,
yeah,
the actual, the anti-authority did, and that they were, after WrestleMania, they were going to take on, like, once the actual, like, heavyweight title was given to someone, yeah, that they were gonna win because they had, you know, more titles. Then like you said something and I said something and like and then you ended up getting choke slammed,
yeah,
by Triple H. Like he choke slams you.
Yeah.
And then basically in this weird like turn, Paige ends up coming to you and being like, "Oh no, I'm changing sides because this guy's like nerdy and cute or whatever." Yeah. I don't know.
Is this your dream or mine?
I don't know, but that was and what ended up being the storyline. She ended up switching sides, making the amount of titles on either side even,
yeah,
so that the heavyweight title actually meant something at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my dream. I don't know who ended up winning in the end.
You woke up right as the WrestleMania like credits started rolling.
Yeah.
They were showing the promo package detailing the entire dream, yeah, you had just had. So pretty much you rewatched the months long dream be retold in 5 minutes, and then you woke up.
Yeah, then I woke up. That was basically what happened. So yeah, that was like my big wrestling. And I mean, like there was like matches and stuff that I watched, and like people coming out and talking shit to each other, and like some of the old legacies got like involved, and so
Ric Flair comes out just woo,
yeah,
just for a paycheck.
Yeah, and I mean, and it ended up being one of the greatest storylines that they had. Like that they were just like it made the company a lot of money, and
it was so good they ended wrestling.
Yeah, there's no more wrestling after that. Everyone had made all the money they could ever make from wrestling.
It's like Vince McMahon quadrupled his stock.
Yeah,
he's like time to call it a day, everybody.
We're done. Everyone go to Japan.
You're all gonna have to compete in New Japan Pro Wrestling, guys. I'm sorry.
Yep.
You're gonna have to cut promos with the Liger.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Is that we were pretending to be from the legal department?
Okay.
That's how we were ended up being out on stage all the fucking time. Was that we ended up pitching this storyline to them when they finally came, yeah, to us, and then we're like, okay, well, we'll write you in as the legal department. Like you're two goons from the legal department who are coming in and saying that you're bad for the company and everything.
Yeah.
And then it came out like one of the big reveals leading up to WrestleMania is that we weren't even from the legal department.
Yeah.
That we were just angry bloggers or something. We were nerds, and like they had a bunch of pictures of us.
The dirt sheets leaked.
Yeah, like, and then we ended up, you know, ended up being like, oh, they're a bunch of angry nerds. They're not even they conned us, and they're not even from the legal department.
Yeah.
So
there's like a picture of us like hanging out at like some seafood restaurant with like CM Punk.
That would be awesome, actually. I would like to hang out with him.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll talk about that theory later because we're running short on time.
Oh,
we,
yeah,
still have two more topics left. Luckily, okay, they're not too long.
Yeah.
So the next one is Ghostbusters 3.
What's your opinion of this?
Of your dream?
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
Needs more. Well, I mean, it was a dream. I can't really. And yeah, he is injured, but he could be uninjured in the dream. Needs more Daniel Bryan.
You know what? I think he actually might have. Something might have happened with him.
He comes in at WrestleMania right as you wake up. Yes. Yes, and you're just like, yes. It was all a dream. I mean, wrestling's not good.
Dude, actually, that would be an awesome storyline, is that they keep Daniel Bryan out mysteriously, even though he's gotten better.
Yeah.
And then at fucking WrestleMania, when it comes time to decide, like, who is gonna, you know, he ends up winning the heavyweight title again.
Yeah.
But he's not associated with either side.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting story.
He's like, I win. Bye.
Yeah.
He just leaves. He goes back to his little cabin in Washington.
So, yeah. We just wrote the next fucking storyline for WWE.
He needs more dragons and hot dog carts.
Well, that'll happen.
But we'll give Dean Ambrose 10 hot dog carts.
We have a fleet of hot dog carts.
He leads like a hot dog battalion.
Oh, God. But the other guy from The Shield, what's his name?
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns. He was another one of the flagships of Anti-Authority, but he wasn't hurt, so.
Yeah. He's like, my hernia, it's no longer there. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Once I wake up, it's back. Mm-hmm. Damn. Better make these next couple dream months count.
So, yeah, anyway, sorry, guys. Yeah, go ahead. What's Ghostbusters, Paul Feig?
Paul Feig, Ghostbusters, is officially go. And the big thing is that the Busters in question are going to all be ladies.
Yep.
It's all female cast.
I think it works better this way, because I just watched the Nostalgia Critic review of Blues Brothers 2000.
Yeah.
And I forgot what a terrible piece of shit Blues Brothers 2000 was.
It's pretty bad.
And that was almost entirely helmed by Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd wanted to put a lot of creative input into the Ghostbusters 3 movie.
Yeah. Well, because originally Ramis was like doing a lot of work with that, and then he died.
Yeah.
And Bill Murray doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
Bill Murray wants to let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, was it what's the actor who plays Winston? Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson, yeah.
He's just if they want me, I'm there. If not, cool.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson's been making that Ernie Hudson money.
Yeah, showing up to cons and taking pictures. And,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, and so really the only like invested party is just Dan Aykroyd at this point. And as much as I like to see him in there, like I just feel like creatively, I don't know if he could really give us like a good story.
Did you see him and Steve Martin redo the Wild and Crazy Guys sketch from Classic SNL recently?
Was it the dating game episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wasn't that not so sad and pathetic?
A little bit.
Like my brother and I were talking about it one night, and he was just like, oh, fucking Dan Aykroyd. He was just gyrating around, and my brother did this weird dance, and I was like, yeah, it was sad. So, yeah, no, I think that this is good. I mean, obviously, Paul Feig's attached to the...
It should be interesting, because isn't he also handling Ant-Man, or is he handling something else?
He's handling something else. We could probably look it up, but my phone's way over there on the thing next to me.
Yeah. Well, the point is, I like his idea. He even, in an interview, said, why is this a gimmick? If it were all dudes, it would just be a regular movie. Why is it, if it's all women, it's a gimmick?
Yeah. No, it definitely... And obviously, you know, like... He's probably going to attach. I can tell you what the cast is probably going to be right now. Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
And then someone to be announced later.
See, I already don't like that casting though, because part of me wants young women on the younger side. I want to see more new blood, because the whole point of the movie is a passing of the torch. So it wouldn't make sense to see. Granted, they're not like old, but you know what I mean. Like, I would rather see a woman somewhere from the ages of 22 to, like, 35-ish kind of be in there.
Okay, how about...
And I think, Kristen Wiig is the only one that's, like... Or Melissa McCarthy's probably the only one closest to that, and I don't even think she...
Yeah.
Like, how old is she?
I don't know how old Melissa McCarthy is.
But I believe the rest are all in their 40s or such. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing against them. They still have the great chops. Like I said, it's a passing of the torch. The people the torch being passed to should have a good... like couple like decades ahead of them, not ready to pass the torch again in another decade or so.
How about Emma Stone?
I could see that. Yeah. Not against it.
As the Vinkman character.
Yeah.
She's gonna take up Bill Murray's mantle.
You wanna know who I wanna see as Bill Murray's, like it's weird. It's not so much Bill Murray, but it is. It's part Bill Murray, part Ernie Winston. I wanna see Retta. Donna from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, no, I don't even know Retta. You know what? No, she would make an excellent Winston.
Yeah.
And she has that attitude of like, no, fuck this. I'm not going to fight no goddamn ghosts.
Yeah.
You know?
But she would be perfect.
She would. She would be perfect.
You know, she's fairly young, so, you know, it would work. She's like, she's not young. She's young, but not too young. Like, she's got enough experience to know, like, I ain't fucking with stupid shit.
Okay. So, Emma Stone, Retta, last two.
It's Good question. In my head, part of me kind of wants to do Mindy Kaling, who was from The Office and the Mindy Project.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, because she, and even in 40-year-old version, she's got great, like, you know, chemistry with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like, she's really funny. I like her.
Okay.
You know, especially because I feel like her and Retta could really riff off of, like, sexual, like, you know, innuendos and jokes and, like, mm-hmm. escapades that they've gone on.
Okay.
Like, even being, like, kind of like, who's got the better, like, who, like, list of, like, dudes that they've tapped. Like, I could see that being, like, a thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, now we need a 4K. So, who, but, like, obviously, Mindy is going to take over Dan Aykroyd's position.
Yeah.
Who's going to be Egon?
That's a good question.
Okay, here's, it could go either way for me on this one. Aubrey Plaza as either Egon.
Yeah.
Or, what, I forget her name, the receptionist.
Janine.
Mm-hmm. Aubrey Plaza is either Egon or Janine.
Yeah. I would rather go Janine versus Egon, just because, personally, I feel like Egon, the person they get should have some kind of background in science, and I was actually going to say, I don't like this show, but I forget the name of the character or the actress. She's in The Big Bang Theory, but she's the one that has the physics degree?
Oh, yeah, she's the one that's an actual fucking scientist.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and I know who you're talking about. Yeah, actually, oh my god. That is, we just fucking, okay, Paul Feig, if you...
He's not, but...
If you were listening to this, if you know Paul Feig, if you, like, met his cousin once in a bar, Mike and Mondo, the Mimo cast, have just cast your movie. You can hit us up on Twitter. I am at BluDijin, BluDijin.
Yeah.
He's at Wacky Mondo.
Yeah.
Hit us up. We will take a small casting director's fee.
A small finder's fee?
Yeah, for casting this movie. Because I think we just cast the perfect fucking female Ghostbusters movie.
And you know what I feel like is going to happen? Is we're going to see at least one of our choices being picked.
Yes.
And we're just going to be like, we knew it.
Who are we going to cast for Rick Moranis' character?
That's a good question. Maybe he'll finally come back.
No. He did his album, The Agoraphobic Cowboy.
Yeah, but he's just kind of overacting.
Well, after his wife died, he left to go take care of his kids.
Yeah, I know.
So he retired. He's done.
Yeah, and the only things he's done recently was, like, voice acting for, like, Brother Bear and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably only because they got his friend Dave Thomas, you know.
They had to do the Canadian thing.
Yeah. And so. I feel like Dave probably had to be like, come on, Rick. It's just, it's voice acting. We can knock it down in 3 days. The kids can play whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
So, maybe. I would love to see Rick Moranis
come out of
retirement.
It could even just be a cameo. Hell, he could even have kids in, like, the movie. His kids could be a part of the movie.
I think his kids are older now.
Doesn't matter. Put them in there anyways. I'll cast his kids.
Oh, yeah, well, if you had to recast it. And I would love to see the Rick Moranis character remain male.
Yeah, I feel like that's fine.
So who would you cast?
It's hard because I'm trying to think of, like, because I'm trying to go more TV than I am movies, because I feel like TV is a lot funnier than movies right now.
Okay.
But my go-to is, like, part of me is, like, Parks and Rec. We already have a Parks and Rec character, but I almost don't mind having another one, because I almost want to say Adam Scott. Because he's really good at being paranoid.
That's true, but he's, like, way older than all the other actors. And I can totally see him in that role.
Yeah.
If we went with the older actresses.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If we went with your, like, original pitch, then yeah. So I'm trying to think of, like, who's more young blood. I almost want, and it's funny because he's a great stand-up artist, but or a comedian, but his show is garbage. Is John Mulaney.
Okay.
I've
heard John Mulaney.
Yeah. Like, I love his stand-up, and if he does awkward really well, it's just his show is, oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, it had the worst premiere of the entire fall lineup to date.
Wow.
Like, worst premiere ever.
That's terrible.
I know. It's funny, because he's a funny guy, so I feel bad. You know, just the show just didn't catch the magic.
How do you feel about Andy Samberg?
I could see it. I just hope he doesn't do, like, the whole SNL sketch, like, overdo shit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's been playing that card a little too hard recently.
That's true. That is kind of his shtick.
Like, I see the potential within him to be able to play that role well, I just don't know if they would try to make him Samberg it up.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's not necessarily something we have to decide now.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like we have the core 4-5 mm-hmm. technically, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know. Fill in any schmuck. Put in Clark Duke. Fuck, who cares?
You know what? No, Clark Duke. We've cast the movie. Clark Duke. Paul Feig, you have our Twitters. Go ahead and hit us up.
Watch actually Clark Duke be in the movie.
I'm really hoping he is. I'm so fucking hoping he is.
See, now we have to talk. This episode's going over, but I don't care. I might even shorten. I might put in like 2 30-second songs.
Just put in one song.
That's fine. I just normally like put in that little audio clip of a movie, but we can skip it this time. Have you seen the trailer for Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
There's a Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
Comes out on Christmas.
I'm going home and watching that.
On Christmas?
Yeah, no, I'm watching the trailer, I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really good. Like, pretty much, they all have, like, the perfect lives because of the altering of the time stream. Mm-hmm. And then Lou gets assassinated during some big speech for Lugal.
Okay.
And so they have to, like, save him, so they're like, we have to go back in time to save Lou. So they all go so then Craig Robinson's character's like, oh, well, I kept this just in case, and it's the hot tub. And so they go in, but things mess up, and they go 10 years in the future.
Okay.
And then Chevy Chase's character is like, sometimes the tub takes you where you need to be, not where you want to go. Where they deduce that the killer is from the future.
Ah.
And they actually have to help solve the crime with John Cusack couldn't return, his schedule is too busy.
Mm-hmm.
So instead they have his character's son being played by Adam Scott in the future.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so he's joining the cast to round it out. But Clark Duke, Craig Robinson, and what's his face? The guy who plays Lou, the really douchey guy.
David something or not.
They all came back, plus Adam Scott, to really round it out. And it looks awesome, because at one point they have to, like, I'm assuming it's probably how the movie's going to end. They have to go back to, like, the Revolutionary War to save America. And, like, we got to go. And then Craig Robinson's like, I don't know about that. He's like, I know you might not be welcome, but this is for America.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so before we go, have one more quick talking point, because it just got announced today and there's not really much known, but it finally came out. I was actually going to call him Tony Stark, yeah. Because he kind of is Tony Stark. Robert Downey Jr. has been kind of like yanking everybody's chains and like being like, oh, Iron Man's coming back, Iron Man 4, maybe not, let's see what we have to hear. And then they made the announcement that he's going to co-star in Captain America 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's obviously saying, oh, Civil War, which could very well be the case. We don't know yet. We'll have to wait. But this is big news, because for the longest time, Robert Downey Jr.'s contract only had him on for Avengers 2 and Avengers 3.
Yeah.
And so everyone was talking, well, when's Iron Man 4 going to like be hammered out? And then here he is like, oh, nope, Captain America 3.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting.
I think it should be. I don't think they have quite the, because we were talking about this earlier, and they just don't have the list of characters to do Civil War.
Yeah.
They might do something that, like you said, draws inspiration from Civil War, with Tony Stark being like, well, fuck it, everyone knows I'm Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't have to get, people should give up their secret identities. They have to have, you know, a commitment to protecting people.
Yeah. Although if you look into it, would even be hard, because look at who they've established as heroes in this universe so far. Hulk, everyone knows he's Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Captain America, everyone knows he's Steve Rogers.
Yep.
Really, the only, not counting the Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like the only people who even, they even know Black Widow is Natasha Romanoff.
Yeah.
So it's like, whose identity are they keeping? No one has secret identities in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How would they even have a Civil War? They'd have to fight over something completely different.
They would. I don't know.
You know?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's not, like, the story, like, if any, what I feel like they could do is, they're arguing over whether or not to maybe rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D., with Tony being in favor, even though he was kind of, like, not so much at the beginning, or during the Avengers, like, he might even just be like, well, we need some kind of organization, and Steve might be like, no, like, you...
We're done, it's donezo.
Yeah.
They can't be trusted.
We need to move forward.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing from what we've seen so far. But we have yet... obviously, this movie is out in 2016, so they still have 2 movies out next year to kind of set things up for that.
Yeah, and you know there's going to be cameos and stuff in the other Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Yeah.
They're going to make references. They're going to set stuff up. So we'll
I mean, it's only two. It's only Avengers and Ant-Man and then Captain America. That's the order. So so there's not really any cameos, given that one of them is all of them.
I thought they were coming out with the Stephen Strange movie soon.
That's in the works, but that would be the same year as Cap, but after Cap.
Huh. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, what are you going to do, Marvel?
Yeah.
They're gonna do something way out of left field, 2015, mm-hmm. that'll make it make somewhat sense.
Yeah.
But until we get to that point where it's all fucking left in the dark.
Yeah, we just gotta... It's all speculation.
Yeah. So we'll see how these awesome movies in the future go about. I don't know. We'll talk more about wrestling and nerds and Michael hating stuff next week.
Yep.
Until then, take care.
Bye, guys. It's time to say goodbye. It's been a real fun.